Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life, and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
I'm just excited to be here once again. We are going to continue on my series on sin. Everybody say sin. Now, I don't want us to learn about sin so we can sin, but we want to learn how we can be free from the bondage of sin. Amen. We talked about a couple of things. We talked about what sin is. We talked about how deceiving it is. Because every time we sin is looks very good. As we read in the story of Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, she was deceived because it looked good. She said it looked good. And matter of fact, after she ate it, she said what? Tasted good, right? But we know that sin, after that, it has a bitterness. It starts to deteriorate your body. It starts to deteriorate your mind. And we have to be free from this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to finish God's view on sin. Somebody say God's view. Now, as I was listening to the Word of God this week, and I listened to the Word of God, if you don't like to read, you can listen to the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean I don't like to read, but it's a lot easier for me to listen to things. So I was listening to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to go there, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 through 19. And as we're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, dear God, we just thank you, dear God, for everybody under the sound of my voice that is here today, dear God. We pray, dear God, that you be glorified tonight, oh God. Not me, dear God, not anybody else, but God, we pray, dear God, that you would speak through me, dear God, so that people can be free from the bondage of the enemy, oh God, and that they can walk in the purpose and the destiny that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think they're looking for some Bibles. Do we got any other Bibles in here? If you don't have a Bible, we do have it up on the screen. It's going to be up there, so just in case. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. And this, just when I was reading this, I was like, wow, there's certain things God just cannot get with. Somebody say, he can't get with. Come on, everybody say, he can't get with. All right, it says this. You ready? It says, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. These are some of the things that God doesn't like, a perverse mouth. What does that mean? Anybody know? Perverse. Not right, right? A foul, disrespectful, and cussing. And you know, some of us, we might have to work on some of this stuff, right? But we got to remember how God views these things. You know, some people say, why do you stop cussing? Because God doesn't view cussing and he doesn't like it. That's why I don't cuss. Next it says, he winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. Somebody said continually. To devise, they're always trying to figure out a way to work evil. He sows discord. What does that mean? Now, you know, we don't sow discord or that chord, but it says discord. And when it says discord, what it means is somebody that is sowing strife amongst brothers, right? If I say, man, this person, oh, yeah, they're horrible, man. They, you know what? Don't even talk to them. Stay away from this person. God does not like when somebody says that about somebody. And I say this, that is judgmentalism. That's when you're judging somebody and you have no business doing that, because you're thinking really what you're saying when you point to your finger to somebody else and say, hey, don't be like that person. What you're saying is you're better than that person. And none of us are better than anybody. We are all saved by God's grace. Amen. And we have, as a church, we have to remember that, because sometimes we'll be in the body of Christ for a long time. We think we got this thing all under control. And then we see somebody that doesn't know God. And the first thing we do is, oh, don't go next to that person. Don't talk to that person. He don't know God. When we are supposed to spread God's love. We're supposed to mirror what Jesus did when he came to the earth. Amen. It says, therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. All of a sudden. Suddenly, he shall be broken without a remedy. And these are the people that do things that God hates. And it actually, Jesus lists, or the Bible listed, it says, these six things the Lord hates. Yet seven are even an abomination to him. A proud look. Somebody that think they got it together all the time. A lying tongue. We all know about lying, right? Who's lied before? We've all lied, right? Some of us lied today. Matter of fact, I told some people they're going to come to church. No, I'm just playing. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, I would say this. That doesn't always mean people that are killing people. But innocent blood. Some people that might even be taking advantage of people. This is what God hates. A heart that devises wicked plans. Somebody that's just sitting back at home like, man, how can I do something to get somebody back? How can I do something to just, oh, man. I mean, we all know about the Boston situation, right? The people that were planning that had a wicked mindset. They wanted to destroy people. They had the mindset of the enemy. Amen? Not the enemy of the nation, but the enemy of God. It says again, feet that are swift in running to evil. When somebody's telling you, hey, it's going down over here. Some of us is, oh, man, I got to get over there. But God is saying that's not what he wants you to do. A false witness who speaks lies, and also one who sows discord among brethren. And once again, discord is when people are trying to divide people. They're trying to divide people. Right now, we have to remember that God, his prayer, when he was on this earth, his prayer was that we would all be together. All the body of Christ will be together as he and his Father are together. Amen? Amen. What's up, Monica? Thought you was going to walk in. I didn't say nothing, huh? That's my sister, y'all. Proverbs 6:12-19 is what we just read. As we continue in this, I'm going to move to this next part of, so if I'm a Christian, should I continue to sin? Any answers? Should we continue to sin since we're Christians? No. Does that mean that we'll be perfect? No, we're not going to be perfect, but we have to strive to do the right thing. Right? All of you guys had a choice today whether you was going to come here today, right? My brother hit me up, and I'm excited to see him. He hit me up from a payphone like, dude, I'm going to make it. What's the address? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, he's going to make it. Yes. But we all had a choice, and with our life with God, God gives us choices every day. Adam and Eve had a choice whether they were going to eat the fruit or they were going to obey God. We have a choice whether we're going to follow what God says. And this is why it's important to read the Bible, because outside the Bible, God says nothing. You guys get that? Outside of the word of God, God is not talking and saying a whole bunch of other stuff. Everything that he says lines up with his word. Amen. So Paul actually asked this question to the believers. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, grace is what we got. Grace is the thing that has saved us. It's keeping us from God, because we cannot earn our salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Okay? That means you cannot work. You cannot be good enough to earn what Jesus did. Right? Now, since that happened, that thing that he gave us, which is grace, do we continue to sin so that grace even gets bigger and bigger? Because that covers our sins. But Paul says, what does it say right there, verse 2? Come on, everybody say that. Certainly not. So shall we continue to sin because grace has covered our sins? Can we continue to sin so we get bigger grace? No. It says certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, somebody say died to sin. Then this is something that we as believers have to remember, that we have died to sin. We have died to the flesh. We have died to the old man that is continuing to rule over us. You have been set free when you allow Jesus Christ into your life. He has set you free from sin. This is why we worship God. This is why we sing all these great songs to God, because he has set us free. Now, I know today in some churches, some people come to church and they don't look set free, right? They look like, oh, man, my life is a mess. Oh, man, when it's time to sing praise and worship, they, you know, they checking their phone. Oh, man, what's going on outside of the church? They're so worried with the things of life that they forget that they have been set free. But God has come to set us free. Amen. It says this. Or do you know that as many of us were baptized? Let me go back. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We can't. Or do you know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in a newness of life. Now, this is talking about baptizing. Anybody been baptized? If you haven't been baptized, we can get you. I don't got no water in there, but we can get you. Amen. But baptizing doesn't save you by itself. Let me define what baptizing is. Baptizing is when you say, it's basically a verbal or a visual that you're saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. My old man's going to die and the new man's going to rise. That's why they dump you in the water. Your old man is gone. Just like I said, you were buried with Christ in the baptism and you were raised in him when you came up out of that water. Because some people, I baptized some people. They thought I was burying them because they was like, man, get me out of this water. Well, I was just trying to make sure that old man wasn't coming back up. Amen. I was like, let's take him. One, two, three. Nah, I'm just playing. Don't do that. Some people get spooky about that kind of stuff. But anyway, we have to remember that we have been set free from the chains of the enemy. The enemy, and I'll tell you this, the thing that is hard for believers is we still have our mind that God has placed in our mind. So before we got saved, we still have those thoughts after we get saved, right? Now, God has already set us free, but if you keep training and keep going on those thoughts, what you are doing is you're dwelling on the old man. That's why you have to be quick. If you had a problem with pornography, anytime that thought comes, you got to say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. If you had a problem with drugs, anytime you think, oh, man, I should, you got to say, in Jesus' name, I don't need that any longer. That's not me. You have to be able to say these things so that it will keep you from these type of things. Amen. And that's the power that you have in Jesus Christ. It says this in verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, somebody say the body of sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Once again, you were a slave. Now, you know, we, especially as African Americans, we heard a lot about slavery. You were a slave to sin. Every single day, sin was beating you behind, smacking you up. But when you came to God, he said, I'm going to set you free. But let's see what happens after that. What verse am I in? Verse 7. For he who died has been freed from sin. Say that again. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, and when it says died, we're talking about dying to sin, not dying in our natural body, okay? Because if we're dying in your natural body, I can't preach to you. It's a little bit too late. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Somebody say live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. We have a job to live to God. Live for God. This is our job as believers in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to say I'm a Christian and do Christian type things. If you don't live for God, if you're not doing the will of God in your life, I say that you're not a believer. Right? The Bible says they will know you by your fruits. And that doesn't mean you have apples and oranges just coming. Like if you come with a basket, it means the things that you do, people will know whether you're a believer or not. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, they'll know if you're a believer or not. And we have to remember that this is part of the life that we are choosing to live towards God. Now, once again, you cannot earn your salvation, right? Because some people think, oh, if I just do the right things my whole life, I'm going to be cool with God. No, you're not. God don't have a cool with me philosophy, right? Because the people that's cool with him, in the end, they're going to be hot because they're not with him, right? And they're going to be in hell. That's why they're hot. Just in case you didn't get that. It's all right. But when we have a relationship with God, it makes us want to please him. Amen? All right. Verse 11 says, likewise, you also reckon to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is a command that we get. Therefore, do not let sin, somebody say sin, reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, once again, we are under grace, but it tells us to live as instruments of righteousness. That means the very look that we have, the very sound that we have. Instruments make noise, right? I like instruments. I love music. Instruments make a very distinct noise, right? You can have good music and you can have bad music. Now, if I give my son a trumpet, like a real trumpet, it might not sound good right now. Matter of fact, if you give me the trumpet, it ain't gonna sound good right now. But if you give it to my mom, she might be able to make it sound good. Oh, she's shaking her head back there. she can play the trumpet, though. So the saxophone, how about that, mom? There you go. She said, yeah, I knew it was one of those instruments. But when that sound sounds good, you know what it is. You're like, oh, they need to know what you are. If you had a sound that came out of your life for everything that you did, would it say that you're righteous or unrighteous? That's what we have to think about. Even though we're under grace, it says that we have to present ourselves as righteous. Amen? It says this in verse 15. What then shall we say? Shall we sin because we are under law, but under grace? He kind of asks the same question again. And what does he say? Come on, everybody say it. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Now it breaks it down again. Sin leading to death, obedience. So sin is almost like disobedience because it says righteousness is obedience. So if sin is disobedience, what happens is we are disobedient to God, so therefore we are sinning, right? We're disobedient to God, so now we are putting ourselves in positions that we shouldn't be in because we are disobedient to God. How many know every time you have a temptation or something that is tempting you, there is an escape that God gives you? Am I right about it, Michael? And sometimes we don't know the escape until it's too late. But we have to be looking to say, how can I be obedient to God? God, today, how can I be obedient to you, God? Instead of being disobedient, God, today, how can I? And I tell people, if you're just getting saved, take it one day at a time. Don't worry about your whole life. Take it one day at a time and say, today, wake up. Dear God, help me be obedient to you today, God. Help me be obedient to your voice. Help me be obedient to what you want me to do. And if you do that every day, even put an alarm on your phone, be obedient to God. Hey, I guarantee after a while, it starts shocking you, right? You'd be like, dang, was I obedient to God? oh man, I need to get right with God. I mean, I'm serious though. When we have reminders, because we have reminders to get up in the morning if we got a job, right? My kids are my reminder to get up. You know, they at 9 o'clock, they come in and say, wake up, Dad. And I'm like, man, I'm not ready to get up. But they are my alarm clock. I work for myself, so I don't work in the morning. I don't, that's not me morning. That's my wife. She loves morning. Me, I don't know. But what I'm saying is we have alarms, we have alerts for us to do. I mean, even Facebook gives you an alert, so you go check your Facebook, right? Because if you didn't have alerts from Facebook, you probably wouldn't check it as much. But somebody liked your picture, and you're like, who liked my picture? Who liked it? You're always looking to find out who liked, who disliked it, who's commenting on that. You need to have those same reminders in your man, with God. Even if it's scripture, quit laughing so much. Even when it's scripture, amen. I really like that. My little baby daughter, she's paying attention. Oh, don't act shy now. He looked away. It says this, verse 17, but God be thanked, or thank God, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Now, it's interesting that it uses that word slave again, right? What does it mean when you're a slave of righteousness? Now, when you dig deeper in the Word of God, one thing that we see, even though we are a slave to righteousness, the Bible says that Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matter of fact, what it says is he takes our yoke. And the yoke was a thing like an oxen used to carry, and they were real heavy that they would carry and do a whole bunch of stuff with. I'm not a super yoke kind of guy. I don't know all the yoke stuff. You know, I'm working in the gym to get yoked, but that's a different yoke. But what we need to see is God is not a burdensome God. Amen. And verse 19 says, I speak in human terms because of your weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, somebody say lawlessness. A lot of us keep getting in trouble because we just disobey the law. We got laws, don't speed. And some of us, we be going to church speeding, right? Like, bless God, I got to get to church on time. On the freeway going 80, and the officer pull you, I'm going to church. You still disobey the law, right? I learned that after a while. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. You see how lawlessness, when you break laws, it continues to break other laws. Because what you do, when you break a law, you try to hide, right? You broke this law, oh, snap. Oh, nobody saw me. You know what I'm saying? You run a red light, you see a police, now you're tripping. Oh, man, let me speed up. He didn't even see you. But it's your conscience that's saying, hey, man, you done messed up. Right? But it says, so now, somebody say now. Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Somebody say for holiness. Righteousness and holiness is two different things. We think it's the same, but righteousness is being in right standing with God. Holy is being at a place where God sees you and he's like, yeah. That's what holy is. And it might not say that in the dictionary, though. It says in verse 20, for you were slaves of sin, yet you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed of? What is it saying? The stuff that you kept doing that was wrong, what do you have to show that you really had a good time? Most of the time, it's going to bring you heartache. It's going to bring you pain. The stuff that you kept doing and disobedient to God, disobeying, I was saying a whole bunch of different words. When you were being disobedient to God, it produced a whole bunch of problems, right? We still might be dealing with some of those problems. And sometimes I say this, when you are free from sin, God has forgiven you. But sometimes you still have to deal with the consequences of your sin, right? Like, let's say if somebody end up murdering somebody, They might be sorry. God can forgive their sin, but they might have a lifetime sentence in prison. That's just the realistic part of what happens when you are disobedient. Amen? What verse am I at now? 20? 22. But now, having been set free from sin, you better not say that because you want me to hurry up and get through this. Verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. So when you do the right thing to God, for God, you have everlasting life. Also, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, somebody say gift, of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once again, it said you're a slave to righteousness, but God has given you gifts. Even though you feel like when you walk with God, you don't feel like you're a slave. God has no chains. God doesn't put you in chains. You're going to experience free life. I know people that I've seen people give their life to God and they just be like, man, I can't explain how I feel. I just feel so good right now. I said, that's because God has just taken everything the enemy has tried to weigh you down. He's taking that away from you. That's what God is doing. Amen. And he will continue to do because that's who our God is. Amen. This is how we walk in freedom of sin. First of all, we got to know the word of God. See, the devil, how many of you know the devil knows the word of God? Right? The devil knows the word of God. That's why he tricked Adam and Eve. He said, God said, did you remember that? He said, well, God said. And then what the devil does, he starts to twist it. Because Eve would not have listened to him. First of all, I always say this. Why did Eve listen to a snake with legs? Right? I mean, I don't like snakes. People that got snakes, that's cool for them. But I don't want no snakes in my house. I don't even like lizards. I don't like nothing like that looks like it. Salamanders. Yeah, summertime comes and some of those little salamanders, they somehow get in my house maybe once every 2 years or something like that. Then I got to take that little creepy thing out of my house and I'm like, ugh. Because they're so small, they could just, when you walk in, you looking like, dang, how did it get in your house? Watch. Lord, don't let it come in your house. That's all I'm going to say. But these little things, they might creep in right when you're walking in. You might not see it. But this little snake, actually, it might have been a big snake, started talking to Eve. And the only reason I'm glad snakes don't talk today either. I'm glad about that. But snakes told her that God said something. Now, the devil, it always makes the devil look like who he is supposed to be in the Bible, a snake. But the Bible says sometimes the devil comes as an angel of light. Somebody that you think, oh, that person looked good. Yeah, and they might quote a few scriptures just to twist you up. That's what the devil does. And people that don't know the word of God, people that are walking in evil, they're trying to twist you up. But you have to walk in the word of God. That's why you have to know the word of God. We got to read this Bible, y'all. It's that simple. If we don't read the word of God, you will be defeated. If you read the word of God and become the word of God. Now, I can't become a book. But the way that I live my life can mirror the word of God, and that's our job. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2. I know we're actually reading these whole chapters, but it's all good. Once again, this is how we can become free from the bondage of sin. Amen? The number one thing is accepting Jesus into your life. Accepting him, that's the number one thing. If you haven't did that, we're going to pray tonight that you can do that. But then after that, your job is to receive the word of God and act on the word of God. Do not neglect salvation. And what I just talked about is salvation, God saving you. Everybody says Jesus saves. What does he save us from? He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the bondage of sin. That's what he came to do. Salvation means saving. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. This is saying we must give heed to the word of God. What does it mean to give heed? That means listen, pay attention to the word of God so that we don't fall away. Now, I know some people think, oh, if I'm a Christian, I'll never fall away. I don't believe that because the Bible just said you will drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Verse 5 says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? This is what God does. He takes care of us. He thinks about us. Did you know God is thinking about you right now? He's praying for you. Verse 7 says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Right now, we don't see everything that God has victory over, right? We see some evil that happens in the world and we're like, why doesn't God? Because we are living in an evil world. The Bible says, as the time grows short, the enemy is going to try to do more and more work. He's going to try to do more and more things to convince people that God is not the one. And Jesus ain't real. Follow this, follow that. We got the right way to God. The time is running short, so the enemy is running rampant. He doesn't care about the kids that get shot in the schools. The devil doesn't care. That's his job. The Bible says his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come that we have life and life more abundantly. Amen? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom we are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies, somebody say sanctifies, and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which we say he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, what does sanctified mean? Sanctified is almost a form of cleaning. When you get into Jesus, he begins to clean you. Amen. Sanctified. How many of us know we're not going to be perfect? Even though the Bible says strive for perfection, we're not going to be perfect until we can meet with God. That's when our sanctification is going to be complete. That means we're going to be exactly right with God. We're going to actually be just like him. Amen? Because he's going to cover us. But verse 12 says, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I, the children whom God has given me. Verse 14 says, and in much then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil had the power of death. How did the devil have the power of death? Because Eve obeyed the devil. And remember, what was the devil's thing that he said wouldn't happen? You won't surely die. Now, because they obeyed the devil, the devil was able to bring death into the world. Now, we are, I mean, this is 2013, right? I wrote 2012 or something the other day. I was like, man, I'm tripping. But it's 2013, right? We know death so much that it doesn't, our minds don't think about a life that had no death. Some of us have very, very close people die. You know what I'm saying? We've had people in our life that we knew they had passed away. But that's because we were disobedient. And somebody might be like, dang, God, you're cold, man. Just because Eve did it, every time you disobey God, you're doing the exact same thing Eve did. You start to obey yourself, right? Or you think you're, but really what you're doing is you're obeying the enemy. Some people don't know the very number one rule of the devil is to do as you please. Do what you want to do. Your will, that's what the devil wants you to do. Verse 15 says, and release those through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Once again, God has come to set us free from bondage. For indeed, he did not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. This is talking about Jesus. He had to be made just like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What is propitiation? That means a payment for the sins. When we look at the story of Adam and Eve, once they were kicked out of the garden, God had to make a sacrifice to pay for their sin. So what you actually look at is Adam and Eve, there was a death that happened, and in order for it not to be them, he had to kill some kind of sheep. Because that was basically what they call that was a substitution sacrifice. Every time we sin, like I said before, we are dying. Your spirit man dies. People don't like to think about that, but your spirit man dies every time you're disobedient to God. That's why we have to repent. Repenting means you have to get in a place where you say, I'm not going to do that again. God, help me not to do that again. Sometimes we got the enemy's yoke is so strong on us, but we got to remember, hey, man, I'm a child of God. That's not my only option. Right? The only thing we don't have only one thing that we could do. God has gifted you with so many other things in your life. And if you feel you're in bondage or something, try something else. God has given you the spirit to move in another direction. Amen. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Somebody say aid. That means he's able to help you. Say, God can help me. Come on, everybody say it. God can help me. God can help you. When you're, even before you begin to sin, it says right there, he wants to help you so you don't sin. He wants to help you. Amen. This is how we get free from sin. We have to remember that God is coming to help us. Amen. He's coming to help us. He already has given his word to help us. He's given us even believers. This is why you go to church, because you have people that are here to help you, because we're trying to live a godly life. Amen. We're walking in the way of God. And when we walk together, we might not have the same temptations that we had when we were with some of the people we were in the world. I never smoked in my life. I don't have a problem with smoking. That don't make me perfect. But if you come to my house, you're not smoking. Right? Why? Because that's not what I do. And I encourage other believers. No, you don't got to do that. Right? You come to my house, I don't watch everything on TV. Only thing you get to watch in my house is Disney Channel? Sometimes. Sports. Yes. The Food Network. And then the house changing channel where they fix houses and, you know, all that. Yeah. HGTV. Yeah. That's it. And TBN, you know, Christian channel and stuff. Everything else, If we can block it, it's blocked. So people would be like, man, you have a, your life is boring. Oh, yeah. And then movies 1960 and under. That's what I watch a lot, too. You know, and when I say under, I mean like 1950, 1940. Those are the stuff I watch. So that way I don't have temptation when, and listen, even when I watch sports, I change the channel on commercials. Why do I do that? Because some commercials are just trying to lure you into what the devil wants you to do. Oh, man, your life is boring. You know, I seen a commercial, and I'm going to close right here. I'm getting ready to close. I seen a commercial, right? And, you know, this commercial had this guy walking, and then a whole bunch of people came up around him, and they just start saying a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, you got to be there at 2:15 to be for something. Hey, man, did you finish this stuff at your job? And basically what they were saying was, your life is hectic, right? So then he walks into a bar and gets a beer. And it was like, oh, your life is much better. Because he's smiling. And see, the enemy will use that, right? The enemy wants to make you think, oh, man, your life is too much. But if you just go to God in prayer, I guarantee it's going to last longer than that beer will. If you go to God and just say, hey, man, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to clear my time. I want to worship. Now I was teaching youth how to worship one time, and as we were worshiping, I would just say, man, lift your hands to God, man. Just open your mouth and just thank him for who he is. And as they were doing that, what began to happen was they've been like, man, I can't explain this feeling. And I said, that's where you need to go when you're feeling stressed. That's where you need to go, because when you worship God, anybody had a real worship experience? When you're worshiping God, you don't think about all the stuff that goes on in life, right? When you have really got into the worship, everything else is gone. That's why we worship when we come to church. It's not just so we can sing great songs. It's to get your mind on who God is. Because the devil wants to keep your mind on everything else. Amen? Amen. When I finish, we're gonna talk about some more things. The enemy's job for those that are in the body of Christ. He wants to accuse, he wants to tear you down, but we'll talk about that later. Let us all stand as we get ready to go. Amen. I'm gonna say this. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that he came, he died for your sins, for the things that have kept you in bondage. He died for that, to take your place. Amen? You could be free. If you have not accepted Jesus and you want to accept him in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, just lift your hand up. We're not going to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff. All right, amen. I see you guys. With two people, they want to accept Jesus today. Amen? And as we accept Jesus, I'm going to say this. The enemy is going to try to say, this didn't really do anything, but God said it has. Amen. And we have to listen to the voice of God. So let us pray with them. Everybody, let's say, dear God, thank you for sending your son for my salvation, for saving me. Forgive me of my sin and set me free from the bondage of sin. Dear God, give me your Holy Spirit to lead and direct me, to teach me in all ways of truth. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you didn't have that baby, you should be clapping. Amen. Somebody clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm just going to say to you two that gave your life to God, I'm going to get you in a second, but one of the things that I talked about in the sermon was being in church. It's very important. All right? You guys listening? Being in church is very important. It's not just this is a good thing to do. It's where you study the Bible. Amen? It's where you learn how to become a believer. And you cannot be a believer in Jesus Christ on your own. That's the thing that the devil wants to do. Because the Bible says against the body of Christ or the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail. But it says the devil is roaring like a lion seeking who he may devour. Anybody see lions? I might watch that channel a little bit. You don't watch no lions? You're a lion, if you watch, okay, everybody has seen The Lion King, right? Oh, you was just watching? Yeah, I might have just watched it too, not too long ago. That's what happens. But when you watch The Lion King, Scar, he went after one, right, that he thought he could devour. Unfortunately, it was Mufasa, but he got him in a situation where he could devour him. That's the same thing the devil wants to do. He wants to put you in a situation where you have no other believers around you, nobody to help you, because there's going to be times where you're on that cliff just like Mufasa is, trying to get up. And Scar, if there's no believers around you, Scar is going to murk you. That means he's going to, you know. I'm not going to mess it up, though. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch The Lion King. All right? So that's the importance of church. I always tell people this, man. There's people in China willing to go to church and dying just to go to church. And we think it's an option. There's a reason why that they're willing to die to go to church, because they understand the importance of fellowshipping with believers. Amen? All right? So we have Bible study. Hannah always be like, Bible study. We have Bible study every Tuesday at 6:30 here. And then also Saturday church service starts at 6:30. That's when we get prayer in by my wife, Precious, and she gets you in. If you're willing to go, she's going to take you there. Amen. She don't even need a spaceship. We just go. Hallelujah. And normal service starts at 7. But come for prayer. Come for prayer. And what are you trying to say? I already said Bible study is at 7. And we actually study the Bible at Bible study, just in case. You know what I'm saying? And right now, we're going through a book on... we're talking about the spirits right now. We're talking about different spirits that happen in people's lives. The Spirit of God. It's called... Mom, what's the book called that we're going through right now in the Bible study? The Commanding Spirits, or Command Ye Me. And that's Old Testament. So, you know, my mom got to break that down, because... Thank you for listening to today's message.
We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family, so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.